Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, God, for another opportunity that you have given us. It is solely because of your goodness and your mercy that we have come to this point in this day where we can open your word and study to know your will and to know the things of you that are freely given to us in your word. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into your word, you will speak to our hearts. God, you will reveal those things that are not seen by the natural eyes, but are only revealed by your spirit. We pray, God, that you will show us your will for our lives. You will teach us things that we need to know that we may walk according to your will. Have your way. We pray for everyone on the line. And everyone who may come on, have your way, for it is in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray, amen. Last week, we was dealing with verse 4, and we talked about the gospel. We talk about what the gospel is, and we talk about why, in this text, Paul said that Christ give himself for our sins. And the purpose that we talked about for that is that he would deliver us from this present evil world. And we talk about what it means to be delivered. Okay? And then I started talking about how this world, this present evil world, I think that's where we ended. When we started talking about that. So that's where I want to pick up tonight over here where Paul talks about Christ died. He gave himself for our sins, okay? And that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So this, and we talked about four things, right? Four things that we could point out, that we could learn from verse 4, the first one, it shows the willingness of Christ to go to the cross, right? And the second was that the verse showed the purpose of the cross, and that is the reason that he gave himself, and that's for our sins. And then thirdly, we talked about the effect of the cross. Christ was crucified to deliver us from this present evil world. That's the effect. That's the consequence or the blessing of God through the cross. When we believe, when we have faith, when we place our faith and trust in God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, in his word, we lay hold of all the promises of God in his word, in his word. That's the effect of the cross. And we talked about how he just didn't die to deliver us, but he died that we might be delivered. That is, he is not in the way we talked, I talked about it was that it wasn't just one act that happened at that moment when we got saved in the past, but it's an act that happened in the past and it's continuing with us throughout our lives here on the earth, that he just didn't deliver us, but that he is delivering us from this present evil world. All right. So that was the third thing. And the fourth thing that this verse showed was the origin of the cross, that Christ died. He died according to the will of God and our Father. And we talked about how the death of Christ wasn't an accident or just some tragedy that happened, but that it was God's plan. It was part of God's plans for sinners. And we went to Acts 2:23, where Peter, when he was preaching, he talked about this. Okay? And so that third thing, the effect of the cross, that was to deliver us from this present evil world. And I think that's what we was dealing with when we finished last week. That's where we want to pick up. The effect of the cross is that he would deliver us and that he is delivering us from this present evil world. And we started to talk about this present evil world, all right? And so we know that this world and age, because when I looked up that word there in verse 4, world, it speak of the age, right? The world, not just the earth, but the age, right, that we are living in, like all the ages before, is evil because this world has a leader, right? Has a leader, and that leader, or as the Bible, as we will see, the Bible calls him the God of this world. He's the leader. This present world we live in is evil because of him, because he's the leader of this world, because he's the power of the air, because he's the God of this world. And this is, we're told this fact in God's word. And there are a few key passages that I want to point out here. One of which I did mention last week, and that's Ephesians 2, right? Ephesians 2, where Paul talks about you, and he said, and you have he quickened. That is you, the believer, you who have placed your faith in Christ. You was dead in sins and trespasses, but you have he quickened. You he's made alive. And then he said, who were dead. So we was dead in sins. We was dead in trespasses. And God made us alive. Wherein, that is, in the sins and trespasses in time past, we walk according to the course of this world. Now, that word there, course, is the same word in the Greek that we have in verse 4 of our text. That's the same word that he used for course. We walk according to the course, according to this world, all right? And then the course of this world. And the other thing that I saw here was that this word in Ephesians 2:1, Ephesians 2:2, the course of this world. This world is a different word. It's a different word from the word world in verse 4 of our text. This world is actually the cosmos. The cosmos, right? And what that word is talking about is like an arrangement, like a course. That a plan or a declaration or order that has been laid out, and we was just walking according to that order, and listen, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil, and that's the spirit. He's the prince of the air, right? He's the spirit that's working in the world, okay? It talks about the principle, a principle, a disposition. That's how he operates, all right? And that's the course we was walking, all right? But it says there, he's the God, he's the prince of this world. And then Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's the same word, the God of this age, the God of this world, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then he said, for we preach not ourselves. And that word for is because we preach not ourselves. That is the reason why the God of this world has blinded the eyes, blinded the minds of those who don't believe, is because we preach Christ. And because we preach Christ, he does not want this effect of the cross, the deliverance of people. And because he does not want that, he has blinded their mind, okay? So that the light of the gospel, right? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ will not come in, and they will be saved. Okay? And then he said, that's happening because we preach Christ. Because we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ the Lord. If we was preaching ourselves, he won't have a problem. He won't blind their eyes because he know if we preach ourselves, there's no power. There's no power. There's no delivering power. There's no forgiving power if we preach ourselves. But the moment preach Christ, the moment we preach Christ, he comes in and he blinds the mind of people. So the light of the gospel don't come in and shine that there will be delivered. All right. So ourselves, he says, your servants for Christ's sake, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He's talking about creation, right? Remember back in doing the creation process when before God said, let there be light, there was darkness all over the world. And God spoke his word and light came in and dispelled the darkness, right? And he, what Paul is saying is God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Okay. But, and that's why, I'm, and even Christ talk about this in John chapter 12, when he talk about anyone who loved their life will lose it. He talk about, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But he was talking about him going to the cross, all right? But he says in verse 27, he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. That is, I came to this very point to go to the cross. And then he said, Father, glorify thy name. Okay. And in other words, this work that I'm going to accomplish, I'm going to accomplish it so that you will be glorified. Now look at what he says. Now look at what he says in verse 31. He says, now is the judgment of this world. That is, once I go to the cross and give my life, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. Okay? So that's the delivering power, the cross, right? The cross is the delivering power of God. The cross is the ultimate strike against evil in this world. And that's why the effect of the cross, the deliverance of our souls from this evil world, and even Christ continuing by his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to deliver us. The enemy don't want that. He don't want that. All right. And he's the God of this world. And that's why all this, that's why this world is evil. That's why this present age is evil, because this world that we're living in, this environment that we find ourselves in, this environment that the gospel, the word of God has been placed in, the reason why it's hostile towards God, towards Christ, the reason why you can't say the name of Jesus, because they don't want to invoke the name of Christ. Because when you invoke the name of Christ, right, that says everything else you believe in is not God. He's God. And that's the thing. We can't come to God. And we talk about this in the book of Revelation. That's what the enemy wants. He does not want Christ to come in, because when Christ come in, there is something about the name. There's just something about the name that either saves or it rubs people the wrong way. And the wrong way that it rubs people is that evil that's in them. And the reason why it's in them is because the God of this age has blinded the minds so that the name Jesus or the glorious gospel, the word of God, can't come in and save them. That's why this world is evil. He's the God of this world. And listen, these people in this church, in these churches that infiltrated the church, okay? Paul calls them in chapter 2. He talks about brethren. He talks about brothers. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3. He said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compared to be circumcised. Now, this is the Jerusalem council, right? The meeting that Paul went to deal with this issue that he was having in these churches. And while they was there in that meeting, right? Listen to what he says. He said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, that is, he wasn't a Jew. He was not compelled to be circumcised. Okay? And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. You see that? That's what I'm talking about. And that's what Paul was dealing with. That's what he's been dealing with these people who was just going around this area from church to church, coming in privately, meaning unaware. They came in under a cloak of false pretense. That's why he called them false brethren. They profess faith in Christ, but they really, listen, that's why the Bible talks about people who believe in Christ, but Christ did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in the heart. Okay? These were the kind of people they was going around these church wearing a cloak, false pretense, pretending to be believers. But all along, you know what spirit was in them? The spirit of the enemy, the devil. He was in them. And the reason he was in them was so that they could pervert the gospel, the true gospel of Christ. And to pervert that gospel, and that's why Paul says, I marvel. That is, I'm astounded. It is an astonishing thing that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ onto another gospel. All right, and when we talk about this another gospel, Paul said it wasn't another gospel, which is not another gospel. In other words, what Paul is saying is, I can understand if it was another way of preaching the same gospel that we preach, but just they preached it in a different way. Then that would be understandable, and that certainly would be acceptable. Because, listen, it's the gospel message is the same message. And every preacher might preach it in a different way, but the core principles of the gospel stays the same. When you tweak it, when you add to it, when you subtract from it, that's when he's talking about perverting the gospel. And that's what they were doing. They were perverting the gospel of Christ. Now, why was they doing that? And remember, we talk about blood, right? When you mix blood with water, it still carry its same color. But that thickness is not in there. Why? Because it's been diluted. And when it's diluted, it does not have the power. That's what they were doing. And they were under the control of the God of this age. They came out. And you know, the other thing I learned, and I even learned this while going through the epistles of John, that these synagogues, the Jewish synagogues that was in the areas of these Christian churches, they were purposely sending these people out to these churches to threaten them, to intimidate them, and to even pervert the gospel. And what they were doing was they were telling people, because they came under this cloak, right? So if they came straight out from the gate and said, faith in Jesus Christ is wrong, is this, that, and the other, people would shun them, all right? But they came under this cloak as if to say they themselves have faith. And what they were saying was, and that's why when you come to chapter 2, Paul is dealing with this. What they was basically saying was, it's okay to have faith in Jesus. But you need to add to your faith circumcision, right? You need to add to your faith circumcision. That's what Paul is talking about. When he said, not even Titus was compared to be circumcised. In other words, Paul went to the Jerusalem council in order that these believers here in Galatia could understand that the apostles that was in Jerusalem didn't agree with this false gospel these people was preaching. Okay? And so they came in under this pretense, and it was actually the devil that was in them. Okay? Satan, that old ancient serpent, the devil, Lucifer, he's the one that was in them. He was the God that was controlling them. Okay? Now, why is it that the other reason that he does not want people saved is because he does not want God to get the glory. That's what Paul meant when he said in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He does not want Christ to get the glory. He wants the glory. Why? Because at the core of the devil's being lies the spirit of pride. Pride. Listen, that's how sin came into the world. It started with Lucifer, his pride. Now, Lucifer was an angel. He was one of the creator angels. Of all God created beings, Lucifer was the most beautiful. He was the most beautiful being that God ever created. He had wisdom. He had power. He had authority. He had beauty. And when I study the scripture on the evil one, the picture I get is you have the Trinity, right? You have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit, and then right beneath was Lucifer. That's how high in power and authority he was created and he was given. But his beauty, right? He got a glimpse of himself. And he saw how beautiful he was. And that wasn't enough for him. And that's when pride came in. Because he wanted to be like God. When the Bible talks about him leaving his habitation, that's what it's talking about. He wasn't satisfied with where he was. Not only that, he was jealous of Christ. And I'm going to take you to a passage so you can see this. We're going to go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay? And in Ezekiel chapter 28, you're going to see this, what I'm talking about. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 28, this is one of those passages that have double meaning, right? From the surface, it seemed like it's talking about a man. But beneath the surface, it has a spiritual application. And I want you to pay attention to this, all right? When you read verses 1 through 10, it talking about the king of Tyre. The king of Tyre. Now, Tyre was a wicked city, and it was known for its opposition against God, okay? And this king, he was the leader of all of this opposition and hostility. Not only so, but he called himself God. All the attributes of God, he inscribed to himself, okay? And God pronounced judgment against him. That's what you got going on between verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to pick up at verse 11. And I want you to listen to what it says. Ezekiel, the prophet, he's talking. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus say the Lord God, thy seal is of the sum, full of wisdom." You're full of wisdom. "And perfect in beauty." You hear that? "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." You hear that, right? So that can be talking about a human being, okay? Because listen, the word there says, you have perfect beauty. There is nothing perfect about a human being. A human being has got a little bit of wisdom. It's not full of wisdom. So he can't be talking about a human being. And it says there in verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." And some people think that it's talking about Adam, but it's not. It's talking about the devil. When he went into the Garden of Eden, right? And we know what he did there. Now, all of this happened before he went into the Garden of Eden. This pride, this him being cast out of heaven, and we've been reading that in the book of Revelation. All of that happened before Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree. Okay, that pride had already come in. He was already evil. Listen. Let's continue reading. "Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, bari, I think the word is, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and the gold." Now, all these things are signifying precious. That's what he means there when he says every precious. These are all precious. These were the characteristic of him, right? "The workmanship of that tabret and of that pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." What is he talking about? His primary tasks were, he was the angel of music. He could sing. So not only did he have this beauty, but he could blow. That's what he means that when he talks about his pipe, he could sing. This is where we get this idea when someone said, speaking of another person who was singing, You sing beautifully like an angel. This is where we get it from. He could sing. That's what it's talking about. And God created him for that purpose. He was the angel over heaven's choir. Not only was he the angel over heaven's choir, he was the angel over all the rest of the angels. He was over them. That's what I mean when I said it was the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and then him. He was over everything. All right, verse 14. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." You see that word cherub is the short for cherubim. It's the word that the scripture uses for an angel, an angelic being. So obviously this can't be talking about a man. So you see the double meaning. And let's continue reading. And I have said thee so. Meaning God said, I made you that way. "And thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stone of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Listen, this is not language that can be spoken of a mere human being. You understand what I'm saying? You was perfect in all your ways from the day that I created you. Here it is, till iniquity was found in thee. But the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, for from the midst of the stones of fire. Here it is. Thy heart was lifted up. Why? Because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, that's to the earth. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries, that is your body, by the multitude of thy iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. All right? Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Just real quick. I'm gonna try to bring all of this together. Isaiah chapter 14. And let's begin reading at verse 12. How art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? All right. Now that the name of Lucifer, it means brightness. All right. And remember now, when we're in the book of Revelation and John said, I saw a star fall from heaven, right? That was the star. That was the light. That was the light. Okay. And listen, that's what it says here in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 28, in verse 17. It said, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. That's the pride that came in. He saw a glimpse of himself. He got a glimpse of himself. And he saw how beautiful he was. And pride came in. And he was corrupted. His wisdom, that perfect wisdom he had that it talked about earlier, was corrupted. Why? By reason of thy brightness, right? That's what Lucifer means, brightness. And that's why he's called the son of the morning. Listen. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? That's the earth. That's when he was cast out of heaven, okay? Because of his pride. And which did it weaken the nations. For thou hast said, where in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like Most High. That's the ultimate pride. Okay? And at the core of the enemy, at the core of Satan is pride. It's pride. And that's the pride that leads to sin. Before man fell in the garden, Lucifer had already fallen into this state. And he came in and corrupted that which was perfect, which is man, God's creation, okay, and caused him to sin. Why? As I said last week, he's not content because, and we read in the book of Revelation, right? It talks about how his time is short. He knows his time is short. And I remember Deacon Wright, one time he was talking and he was just encouraging us. And he talked about how we should not be frightened of the devil, of the enemy. And then Deacon Wright said, because he is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. Yes, he is a foe. He is an adversary. And that's what devil means, adversary. He's a foe, but he's a defeated foe, right? And he knows that his time is short. He knows that the believers have the victory in Christ. He knows that Christ died, that we will be delivered from the dominion and the power of his grips. He knows that. So what does he do? Well, misery loves company. He is headed for destruction. We see that in Ezekiel. His ultimate end is he's going to burn to ashes. That's when he will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. And he does not want to go there by himself. So he wants to corrupt and take as many people with him as possible. All right? And that's why this world is evil. And that's why Christ came. And that's why the gospel is so important. And that's why the gospel is so opposed. And that's why the gospel wants to be, the enemy wants to pervert the gospel, because if he can do that, then he can stop people from being saved. This world, this evil world is immoral. It's worthless. It's wicked. Amen? And listen, Paul is talking about an evil world that is determined to oppose Christ and his gospel. Just like that king in Tyre and that city was wicked and in complete opposition to God, and not only to God, but to God's people. That's a picture of this world that we're living in. It's aggressive towards God's people. Amen? And it's not just bad in character, but bad in its effect. This world will affect us in a bad way. It means not only evil is in its nature by evil in its influence, but it's evil in its activity, and its activity is harmful. This is the same word, evil, that is annexed to Satan. He's called the evil one. And the reason why this world is evil, because the evil one is the god of this age, who is corrupting man, dragging him into destruction, because he's miserable. He's a loser. Amen? He's a loser. And guess what? When people lose, that's why we got a term called you're a sore loser. Satan is a sore loser. And because he's a loser, he wants to make us losers too. Amen? And that's what Paul is saying here. So essentially, Paul is saying to these believers in these churches, I'm astonished. I'm shocked that having taught you all the things about Christ and you receiving him in your heart, and you having the Holy Spirit, I'm astounded that you will allow these perpetrators to come in and have you removed from the gospel environment. This is not what God wants for you. This is not what God wants for you. This world, listen, this evil world It's dominated by self and pride, by humanistic philosophies that seeks to eliminate God from every aspect of life. That's what the enemy wants. But this evil, satanic, dominated world that we're living in, guess what? The word of God says it's passing away. Listen, Christ finished work on the cross. He gave himself to deliver us from this world. Not only that, but this world will, it's passing away. Listen, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and what? The pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And listen to this. And the world passeth away, meaning the world is passing away, and the lust thereof is passing away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world, listen, we're living in a transitory time period. There's a transition that is taking place. Right now, this world is being pushed out. This evil world, because of what Christ did, because of what he accomplished, because of the delivering effect of the cross, this world is being pushed out. At the same time, guess what? The kingdom of Christ is being pushed in. It's being pushed in. That's the replacement. That's the replacement of Christ. Listen, and this is what Reverend Williams is always talking about. Listen, when he talk about the life of Christ in us have to eclipse our life, right? This is the same working. This is what I mean when I say not only has he delivered us from this world, but he is actively, presently delivering us. And just borrowing Reverend Williams, what he says is Christ's life have to eclipse us. In other words, Christ's life in us. Listen, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is in us, all right? The Bible also says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? Listen, the spirit of Christ in us, the life of Christ in us is slowly, slowly pushing out the world that is in us, slowly pushing it out. It's passing away. Listen. Not only has he delivered us, but he's delivering us, his life. And this is why I was talking about last week, that Christ gave himself. He gave himself willingly. It was involuntary act. He died willingly. And remember, we talked about how this idea of having to die to self, it ought not be something that's pushed on us, because listen, Christ's death on the cross was not pushed on him. He said, no one takes my life from me. He said, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. He did it willingly. And listen, the effect of the cross, the way that it really manifests itself in us is that the life of Christ through the word, as we receive the word continually, has to push self out. And that's why we have to willingly deny self. That's why we have to willingly die to self, because there is a greater reward. And that's us becoming more like him and less like the world. Amen? And listen, this world is being pushed out. This is happening little by little, and it's happening right now. It's being pushed out. The physical world, This earth, this physical world is being pushed out. Listen, this is why John said to in Revelation 21 in verse 1, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there were no more sea." See, this world, this earth, this world that the enemy was cast, when Isaiah and Ezekiel talk about him being cast to the ground, and the book of Revelation said, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the ruler of this age has entered in." Amen. Listen, all of that is passing away. And listen, there is a new world that's coming in. And listen, we get a glimpse of this new world. We get a glimpse of this new world. And we get this glimpse. We talk about the millennial period, right? The 1,000-year period where, and remember when John saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, right? And what happened? There was a war that took place, right? And Christ, the Lamb, got a hold of the devil, and he chained him, right? And he tossed him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the kingdom of Christ came in, right? And remember, we went through these different passages where it talks about the peace that Christ's going to bring in for 1,000 years. This peace where there will be no more war, right? Where the psalmist talk about how people are going to turn their swords into pruning hooks. They're going to trade in their weapons of warfare for weapon of peace. That's the peace he's going to bring in. Amen. Listen, when Paul says that Christ gives himself to deliver us from this world, these are all the effect of the cross, of the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what we have. Amen. And listen, the devil is a defeated foe. The God of this world, he died to deliver us. And listen, in the church today, the enemy, he got his agents out there, and he plans them out in the world. See, the devil is not omnipresent. No matter how hard he tried to be like God, he can't be like God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be in more than one place at the same time. He's not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at a time. But he has his forces. He has evil spirits, demonic forces that are out in the world. And listen, just like that king in Tyre, you know why he was evil? Because Satan indwelled him. He possessed him. And he led him to oppose God. And then he led the entire city to oppose God. Okay? And listen, he does this. Listen. He did the same thing to Judas. He entered into Judas. He made him the son of perdition in order that he will oppose the will of God to stop the cross. The enemy has always, he's jealous of Christ. He does not want Christ to get the glory. He has always been tracking, chasing down Christ, always been trying to put a monkey wrench in the plan of Christ, in the plan and the will of God. Remember the dragon fighting with the woman, right? And the woman was the nation of Israel. Okay? The woman was pregnant with child. The child was Christ. The woman was the nation of Israel. Okay? And everything, this is why you This is why you hear me say this all the time when we come to the Old Testament, especially me. I'm like, I'm always looking, where is Christ? Because everything is about him. Everything that happened to the nation of Israel, it wasn't them that it was happening to. It was the enemy opposing the will of God that Christ will come forth, that the woman, the nation of Israel, will give birth to Christ. Amen? That's what was going on. And you see throughout the Old Testament, his opposition, even all the way to the cross, he was there. In the garden, he was there. After Christ's baptism, he was there tempting him. Everywhere that Christ was, the enemy is and will and always will be there for that specific purpose, to oppose the word of God being fulfilled. But take heart, believer, because God said, he said that every word he has spoken will not return unto him void. Amen? He said, every word, take heart, believer, every word that he has sent out will not return unto him void. It will accomplish its purpose. Amen? And that's what the gospel. Listen, the enemy, to borrow the words of Deacon Wright, he's a defeated foe. Amen? So we don't have nothing to worry about. Yes, we have a task. Yes, we're going to face temptation. Yeah, yes, we're going to face persecution. Yes, we're going to suffer even the consequences of sin in our lives. But ultimately, we already got the victory because Christ gave himself that we will be delivered. Amen?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you, God. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, even for the opportunity to just go into your word and just be able to see with the eyes of our heart the extent to which you will go to love us, the extent to which you will go to deliver those who, even before Christ, our nature was in opposition of you, the enmity and hostility that we had towards you, that even in this state, you said in your word that while we was yet sinners, your son died for us. He died. He died. You loved us. You did not wait. You did not wait for us to get it together because we would never have gotten it together. But while we was hostile, while we was enemy, while we was enemy of yours, your son died for us. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for delivering us from this present evil world. And we even thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit and your word working in concert to continue to deliver us, to push every bit of the world that is in us out of us, that your son's life might come in and eclipse our life and take hold on us, that we might be conformed more and more like him. Help us, God, to remember that people and the hostility that's in this world is not those people, but we have an adversary who is working through them. So God, help us to be able to tell the difference and love the people at the same time despising the sin and the opposition. And God, we pray for an open door that, Lord, you will help, you will have us minister your word when the opportunity presents itself, to let people know that there is good news in this world where everything just seems so chaotic and turned upside down, that there is good news, that in this world where it seemed like there is no hope, there's hope in Jesus. And the good news is that he saves, there's salvation, he delivers, and he takes out the sting of death. He delivers, Lord. Help us, God, open a door of opportunity that we will be able to share this message with anyone, God, God, we pray that you will break our hearts, that you will, Lord, you will not have us be people who stick up our nose against those who are without Christ. But God, we pray that you will fill our hearts with compassion, that we can be able to look past and see that you give your son, that that person will be delivered, God. Have your way in us. Go with us, God. We pray for everyone who is over, who tune in for Bible study. We pray for those who have it, had it in their hearts to come on, but for whatever reason, they were not able. We thank you and we lift them up, God. We pray, God, all the bereaved family is, and families and everyone who is sick and shut in, God, we pray for the government. We pray for the police. We pray even for the armies. And we pray for everyone. We lift them up, God. Everything that's going on in this world, God, we pray, Lord, you know better than we know. We just lift everybody up, Lord, and we pray that you will have your way. We pray for even those Christians, your children, who are being persecuted in India and being murdered. God, we lift them up in prayer right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray that you will have your way. Go with us. Give us traveling mercies. Those of us who are going to work tonight, Lord God, we pray that you will have your way. Put a hedge of protection around us. Even those of us who are going to bed tonight, God, we pray that you will put covering by the blood. You will cover our homes, that the death angels will pass over our home, that no harm will come nigh unto us, Lord God. Have your way in us, Lord God. We pray for Minister Williams, even prepare his heart as he deal in the word tomorrow morning. Just go with us, God. Yeah. Have your way. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the enormous revelation and the continuing endowment of just shining the light of your word in our heart over these past months. God, we thank you. We appreciate it. And we let you know, God, it is welcome. We welcome your word in our hearts. We pray this prayer, God. We ask you these many blessings in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, by virtue of the shed blood of Calvary cross. We ask these things even by his authority. And in his name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.